Coffee Park Conversations.
In this very special episode, I talk with April from April in Paris Tours. We were due to meet in a coffee shop in Belleville. Upon our arrival, it was chock-a-block, full of people sitting on their laptops, not talking. April figured that it wasn't a good idea to go and upset the locals, so we popped around the corner. And obviously, April being a tour guide and living at the time in Belleville, knew the best places to go. So we popped into this little coffee shop. Well, we didn't pop in. April popped in afterwards. We stayed outside and had our chat, which was quite nice. It was a nice day at the time. I was using my microphone with a fluffy bit on the end, so it sort of kept the wind resistance down a bit, which is nice. Yeah, you've got background noise, scooters going past and the old person walking past us. But one thing that does make this episode special is it is marking the 10th anniversary of April starting April in Paris Tours, obviously 10 years ago. And for me, it was my first interview where I hadn't really planned anything. I had no idea what we were going to be talking about. I checked April's website, well, literally from the beginning of my journey on the 12th all the way up to Belleville on the 20th, which wasn't very long. But I will mention, on the metro you have phenomenal mobile access. The internet is outstanding speeds, much better than anywhere else in Paris, I find. And it's much, much better than what we have in London, whether you're walking in the street, on the underground, or even sitting at home on my Wi-Fi. The speeds in Paris on the metro, considering in theory underground, is just phenomenal. We could really take a few hints and tips from Paris with our underground system. But that's not a discussion for now. That's going to be in a future episode. So this episode, it was me meeting up with April Pett from April in Paris Tour, sitting outside of a coffee shop. And that's it. So we just chatted for about half an hour, I suppose. And what you're going to hear is that conversation.
Coffee Park Conversations.
Hello, and who are you?
Are we recording?
You certainly are.
Oh my gosh, already. Okay. Hi, bonjour. Hi, Paul. I'm April from April in Paris Tours. Yes, the president, as they like to call me here in France. I really like that title, actually. Yeah. So I organize tours here in Paris, beautiful Paris. I'm from Canada, and it's nearly 10 years that I've been living here in the City of Lights.
And is that light singular or plural?
Singular.
Singular, okay.
Yeah.
That's the general consensus these days.
Yeah. Sure. I know. Most people believe it's lights because of all the twinkling lights all around the city, but no, it's light singular. Yes. The Enlightenment thinkers. Yeah. But I always like to think it's also because of the Alexander III Bridge, but the first bridge with lights on it for the 1900 World Fair. Yeah. It's really makes Paris magical. So.
And obviously, Eiffel Tower's caught on with a little twinkling.
Yeah. Have you seen it? Obviously.
Yeah.
It's amazing, no?
Certainly, yeah.
From the top of the street here, you can see it, actually. At nighttime, you get a great view of the Eiffel Tower from here in Belleville.
A few years back, I was in Rue de Londres, by Gare Saint-Lazare, and I've looked over, just caught the tip, but seen a huge spotlight beaming around.
Yeah.
That's
quite nice. So pretty. After 10 years, you know, they say time flies when you're having fun, but I'll never get tired of seeing the Eiffel Tower. Never. So,
it's,
yeah.
Again, that's sort of almost a bone of contention. Some people, it's there. But again, I know I visit Paris, I see it, and it's just that little, I'm here now. It's that sort of, and again, not seeing the big sights from like the main boulevards, but I mean, just catch a glimpse over a rooftop.
Yeah.
That for me, that's the magic bit.
I like going to friends' houses. Especially if it's like the first time, if it's for like a dinner party or a cup of coffee. And you can see just a little tip of the Eiffel Tower, you know. And I was like, oh, I'll come here more. Absolutely. Invite me over more.
So what got you into tours?
So my hometown in Canada is just next to Niagara Falls, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a small place called Thorold, Ontario. And so During my university career, I worked in tourism back at home, and I'm a world traveler. I've been all over the globe, really. So I came here actually to improve my French. I started working with a tour company, and I had done one of their tours like 10 years prior. When I saw they were hiring, I knew that I needed to work with them. And so I worked with them for a year. It was such a great experience. But after a year, I was turning 30, and I said, you know, time to do something a little bit more significant for me. And that's when I launched April in Paris tour. So yeah, 8.5 years ago now.
Wow.
Yeah. Best job in the world.
I can imagine. So being traveled, what's the difference for you between Paris, not necessarily as home or as work, but Paris and other sort of major cities?
Well, for me, Paris is the most beautiful city in the world. You know, it's all the fine details of all the buildings. People say to me often, like, don't you ever get tired of seeing Paris? You know, all the buildings are cream colored. They're made of limestone. They're all roughly the same height. But no, it's just like my rule of thumb when I'm showing people through my adopted home, right, is to always look up, and there's beauty everywhere you look. All those fine details of the architectural elements on the facades of the buildings, or the design of the wrought iron terraces or balconies, even just like the decorative elements just in front of the windows. Like if you take a look over there, see? And those wooden windows there, it's just so beautiful. So Paris for me is like being right in the center of a huge outdoor, like, walking gallery, art gallery, you know? And that's what makes it so special. And because of all the fine details, like, you know, you might see something that I've never noticed before, and you might say, April, take a look at that. And I'm like, wow. So, you know, that's something that keeps me falling in love with Paris more and more and more every day, really. So
you say about the cream buildings, I know exactly what you mean.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, you picture Paris, that's what you get in your head. But then you go outside, away from the main hub. I mean, there's no two buildings the same.
No.
Not here.
Not
I'm
here.
I'm staying in Nation, it's different. I've been in the 14th, which is my favourite. And it's all different.
Yeah.
And it's, I suppose you go anywhere, you've got your main, you think of New York, you picture Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
And the shops. But you go a little bit outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I think the difference with Paris and the other bits, Paris is so compact.
Yeah.
But spacious.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Difficult to explain. But it's, coming from London, everything's tight.
Yeah.
But it's also so far away.
Mm-hmm.
If I want to go from the shops to the museums,
yeah,
it's sort of a 20-minute ride on the tube.
Yeah.
But here,
sure.
I can walk it.
Here, you can walk it everywhere, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Or 4-minute metro ride.
Uh-huh. But I think what is interesting about what you just said about, like, here, we're sitting in Belleville. We're on the brink here of the 20th, and across the street, that's the 19th. Yeah, so we're like right on the brink of the two arrondissements over Nation, and even the 14th. You know, Paris is in the shape of an escargot, right? Like a snail shell. And so these neighborhoods that you've just mentioned, they were the kind of like the last neighborhoods to become part of Paris. And so up until 1860, these neighborhoods were like rural villages outside of the city limits. And so they still maintain kind of that unique rustic charm. You know, you don't have the Haussmannian style architecture here because, well, these were the neighborhoods that the kind of like the commoners, the, you know, the average Joes were pushed out to these neighborhoods. And it was more so like the central of Paris that was reconstructed during the Second Empire. But that gives it so much charm over here too, as well, you know. I love all the different style buildings in these neighborhoods, and like the greenery.
It's everywhere.
Uh-huh. Look at this garden behind you here. Yeah. We're just sitting here on a terrace, and look, you look over your shoulder and there's fig trees over there, and it's just, yeah, so charming in these neighborhoods. So,
and you've got the little parks, it's the squares as well.
Uh-huh.
Which again, in London, where I'm from, you have a park, and
yeah,
you've got to walk miles to get another park.
Yeah.
And there's no little sit down areas. It's everywhere in Paris. Although what I have noticed is you normally get like a restaurant on one corner, on the opposite corner, exactly the same.
Yeah.
It's almost like they've flipped it on a mirror. So you never short something to eat, but they sort of intersperse it with the little shops. And then you get a little bit of parkland, or somewhere just to sit down and relax, even if it's a bench somewhere.
Yeah.
If that's in London, it would be ripped up and a bit graffiti on the floor.
You know, here we say that people watching is a national sport, right? Yeah. So that's why you always have somewhere to sit so you can watch the world go by.
I was talking to my girlfriend Nev last night about it. We were in Opère Tranquille, just outside Les Arts, the shopping park. And it is everywhere you look, with the terraces, the seats, they're 2x2, or like one row of two.
Yeah, looking outwards. Yeah, they're very inviting, aren't they?
Yeah.
There's that. Got a fun fact for you.
Ooh,
yeah,
ooh.
There's 9,057 open terrace cafes in Paris. So if you went to a different one every day, it would take you 29 and a half years to visit them all. So yeah, I'm slowly trying to make my way around to the mall, but you know, so many more keep opening and closing and changing, you know, ownership, but trying to get my way around and to people watch from all those inviting chairs on those terraces around the capital.
And again, it's walking along here, I've stayed in the 20th previously in Rue de Périgny.
Yep.
And it was a very, I don't know if I'm going to have to admit, like oriental type of place. Whereas down in the 14th, it felt very more sort of Latino.
Oh, okay.
And each place I've been has got a different community.
Yeah.
And that, again, that's nice. But this isn't known as sort of like a Chinatown. They say it's down in the 13th.
Well, there is one here as well.
Oh, yeah. The classes is
there here in Belleville. Yeah.
Again, it's all the streets are sort of like the oriental food markets.
Yeah. The one in the 13th is actually the largest Asian community in Europe. But in Paris, we actually have three of these kind of neighborhoods. No. Merci. So, but here there is, like, afterwards we can walk down the street here and you'll see all the amazing restaurants. Yeah. So, but this one here, this neighborhood here actually in Belleville, like here in the 20th, you know, as you say, each neighborhood kind of has its own kind of culture that resides there, you know, but years ago, my very first apartment when I moved to Paris, was here in Belleville as well. And because I live in the neighborhood now. And so I was trying to kind of like determine who I would classify as being like the main culture in the neighborhood. And I couldn't really figure it out because there's a very large like Asian community. There's like a larger kind of like Northern African community, you know, there's a lot of expats here. And so one night I was watching National Geographic and it said there's around 270 different cultures that live in this neighborhood.
Wow.
Yeah, so here's like a big hodgepodge of different cultures. And I think that's fascinating actually. Yeah, so that's something really, really neat about this particular neighborhood of Paris. Yeah.
Have they reached this far with gentrification yet?
Absolutely. Yeah, because when I moved here 10 years ago, I mean, it was already kind of like a hip place, but these days, oh my gosh, after 10 years, I've seen the change so much. I've come and gone, always kind of lived around here. But so it always popped back into the hood while I was living in other arrondissements. But yeah, here, I mean, gosh, the Bobos have taken over, right? Do you know what a Bobo is?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You can explain by all means.
Oh, so a Bobo is a bourgeois bohemian, aka the hipsters. Yeah. So that means lots of good coffee in the neighborhood, actually.
Yeah. So swings and roundabouts, pros and cons.
Sure. But yeah, it's definitely a very hip neighborhood these days. Yeah, everybody is kind of flocking to Belleville, I feel. Yeah. Don't feel like there's enough French spoken in the neighborhood, though, because of this, because there's a lot of expats who come here and you hear a lot of English in the streets, which, yeah. Actually, I'm moving to the 14th. Fingers crossed,
oh, wow,
if it all works out, yeah, by the end of the month. That's that's the goal.
Good
so, yeah, you'll have to give me some hints about the 14th. That's not a neighborhood I'm very familiar with. I don't go that far. It's far from Belleville.
It's such an eclectic. I mean, like all the arrondissements, you move around the corner, it's different.
Yeah.
But yeah, the hotel I was in was just next to Parc Montessori.
Yeah.
I like waking up and going to the boulangerie in the morning.
Yeah.
And
As we all do.
I'd never ventured outside of Paris before, properly. So I walked through the University Gardens.
Yeah.
There's a bridge.
Yeah.
It takes you over the Pervivique.
Okay.
And I felt like I was in freedom, like a no man's land.
Yeah.
Just left, there's a Joe and Joe's, and just beyond that is a Portuguese boulangerie.
It's
beautiful. It's not very big. There's half a dozen seats.
Okay.
But it's got that sort of community feel.
Like, nice. I love that. Are you a fan of the pastel de nada?
Not really.
No, me neither.
I feel bad saying now. I'm a pan of chocolate, a pan of cheese.
Yeah. I don't like creme brulee either, but you know, it's kind of like the same inside. Yeah. That kind of like custardy, creamy. No, not a fan.
I love egg custard tarts, which we have back home.
Yeah,
we have,
sure.
Custard slices, which are big in Wales. And I love creme brulee.
Yeah.
But what I found is not everywhere has the hard crumb.
Yeah, that you can tap with your spoon, huh?
I feel cheated when I don't get that.
Yeah.
It's like, what was this? If I wanted fake, I would have got the turkey, bought it cheap. But it's wrong. I don't speak enough French to complain.
You can get like one of those translator apps on your phone to complain into it. There's a place up here that does a trio of creme brulee, and they infuse them with like vanilla from Madagascar, lavender, and raspberry, I believe. Yeah, it's called Escargot Bar. It's up the hill on Rue de la Villette. I recommend going next time you visit. Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. Actually, I don't mind their creme brulee. I'll have a little taste, but
I'll put that in the show notes, as recommended by
Yeah.
So, right. I don't want to move on to the notebook section just yet.
Okay.
So I'm going to think of a really good question for you.
Tell me. Hit me with what you got. Is that like how the saying goes?
Okay, really off topic. You've just come back from Italy.
I have come back from Italy, yes.
How was Italy?
Amazing. So beautiful. It was my first time in Cinque Terre. So colorful, but crazy storms at night. So all the hiking paths were closed. But Italy's always nice to go back to, actually. My family's Italian. I spent my first birthday in Venice, yes. And I think that's really what gave me the wanderlust, you know, was when my mom and my nona brought me to Italy back then. So I have my Italian passport, so I have dual citizenship that allows me to stay in Europe and have my business and live in Paris. Yeah, I actually lived in Sheffield for a few months.
In England? Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, what a contrast.
Before Brexit and the passport was still valid over there, you know. But yeah, I spent a lot of time there. And then one summer I moved there and then, it didn't really work out. And so up and away I went to the next destination. But so going back to Italy is always very special. I still have family who live there. It was my Nono and Nona who moved to Canada, but they're immediate families. So my extended family is still there. So I tried to go back once a year. I've been twice this year. Didn't see them this time since it was a hiking trip, which never happened. But I ate lots of good pasta and gelato. So.
What more can I ask for?
Right? Yeah. So have you been to Italy?
Once for a friend's wedding.
Okay.
Or her first wedding, I should say.
Okay.
And I never remember. I always say it's Florence, but I don't know for sure. But we stayed in a vineyard.
Okay.
Amazing place.
Yeah.
I was in Dublin the year before and I bought myself a suit.
Okay.
And it's very nice, a linen suit, nice lightweight. I thought that would do for Italy.
Uh-huh.
I tried it on. It didn't fit anymore. I put on just a little extra weight around the waist. So
happens to the best of us.
What am I going
to
do? So we popped into the town, found a tailor. He didn't speak English. I don't speak Italian.
Yeah.
Found a nice double-breasted suit.
Uh-huh.
I asked him to put turnips in it because for some reason they were long.
Yeah.
And I needed it by tomorrow. So we've managed to pigeon English, pigeon Italian. A little bit of Spanish thrown in. And it did it, and it all worked out well. And it was a very heavy weight suit for a summer wedding.
Okay,
But I looked good.
Okay,
I'm not gonna lie,
I'd love to see a picture of that.
You know what? I will find it. It'll be me and my friend Paula.
Okay.
hopefully her latest husband doesn't see it. But I'll send it to you and I'll also tag it on this, this podcast.
Yeah, so, cool. Yeah, I look forward to seeing it.
I think I was clean shaven and more hair.
No hat?
No hat.
No.
That was before the days of the hats.
Okay, I feel like that's your signature accessory.
It normally is.
Yeah.
I said yes, because of the hoodie. It's the branded hoodie.
Yeah, I noticed that, of course.
I don't know if you saw the back.
Oh, cool.
The QR code, just in case people sort of snap it. I'm all about the branding.
Yeah, sure.
It's for me, with a podcast, it's exactly what we're doing now, just having a chat, getting to know the people that make Paris happen.
Yeah.
And the cafe culture, which, just let the moped go, we don't really have, I've not found it in my part of London.
No.
We've got coffee shops.
Yeah.
And you get people come in and chat, but
it's not the same.
It's not
There's
the same.
Nowhere around the world. I've been to like 50 countries. I've never found a place that has the same kind of cafe culture as here in Paris, in France in general, really. So I have a question for you.
Okay.
Do you like the coffee in France? Tell me what you think. Be honest.
Well, being honest, I'm a tea drinker. I can talk about tea, but no, coffee. I'm not a great coffee drinker. I don't like coffees. I have latte because it's heavier with the milk.
Okay.
Takes away a little bit of the bitterness.
Okay.
When I'm being creative and productive, I'll always have a coffee.
Okay.
I don't know what it is, but the caffeine sort of calms the brain and opens up.
Okay.
It's almost like absinthe, but without the alcohol.
Do you see green fairies when you drink it?
I see green fairies all the time. I'm on medication. I left at home. But it's,
Can you see one over my shoulder right now?
Yeah, it's sitting in a pot. It does look like Kylie Minogue.
Sorry. Oh my gosh, it's so funny. Okay.
But no, I have been told the coffee is nice by a lot of people.
Oh, really? I don't think so. That's okay. Why I
They
asked.
Might have been polite. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what a good coffee is meant to taste.
So, something that I've learned over the years, I'm a huge coffee drinker. And so, like 60% of Parisians in the morning, they go into your like classic bistro or cafe and they stand at the Zinc, right? The bar top, and they have a quick espresso shop on their way to work or meetings or whatnot. And so, because of the high demand of the clientele, the baristas, you know, they're in a hurry and they're trying to keep up, and the coffee is often bitter or burnt. Yeah, so the French don't actually have a great rep for their coffee making skills, which is interesting considering they're so, you know, highly respected in the gastronomical, I forget the word I was going to feel now. I was going to say front, but in the world, gastronomical world, right?
It's the Italian heritage.
Yeah, there you go. But no, they're so well renowned internationally with their talents at the gastronomical world. There you go, got the good word. So, you know, it's kind of interesting to hear that their coffee making skills aren't that great. But these days, you know, like I said, the Bobos are taking over the coffee trend here in Paris. So it's really changing dramatically because, you know, you can go to these nice coffee shops and houses around the capital where you can get your flat whites or your fancy lattes or your cappuccinos, where they serve it with like a little dove drawn into the foam of your coffee, right? So it's changing these days. So you can actually find really good coffee in Paris these days.
Which is normally expat owned.
Yeah. A lot of Aussies. And the Kiwis too. So yeah. But I'm still gonna be that part of that 60% that goes in and has a burnt coffee in the morning. Yeah. There's just something about that culture of it all. And it's interesting, like here I only drink normally like an espresso, but then when I go to Italy, I always have to have a cappuccino. I don't know if it's what's in their milk over there or what, but yeah, I have to have a cappuccino every time I'm in Italy, every morning, which I don't drink milk here, so yeah. Maybe I just want to fit in that 60%.
So I've got a coffee in front of me.
Yeah.
And I've got a glass of water.
Uh-huh.
What's the water for?
to
rinse
clean your palate. Yeah. Get that bitterness away.
Oh,
no.
Yeah. No. No. Definitely. But again, when at home, I'm in one of the chains. It's called Costa Coffee. It's
now owned by Costa. Oh, yeah, of course.
Owned by Coca-Cola now.
Pardon me?
Owned by Coca-Cola now.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Okay.
But I still love them, and that's where I go. I've got one down the road from where I work, around the corner at home, and they put in the nice tall glasses. Drizzle the sugar on top, let it all sink down.
Okay.
Let it get cold. After about an hour,
then you drink it. Okay. See, like when I go back to Canada, we have a brand, a chain called Tim Hortons.
And ask you about Tim Hortons. All right, let's carry on with that.
So yeah. Tim Hortons is he was a famous hockey player, and so now he has this coffee chain brand and donuts and bagels and all that jazz. You know, for me, it's very patriotic to drink Tim Hortons, even though I never know what to get when I'm home when I order there, because they offer espressos, but everybody drinks a double double. This is like a Canadian term, if you will. It's double cream and double sugar. I actually have a Tim Horton mug up in my apartment that says double double. If you know, you know, right? And so, but that, I feel like that's what I should drink, but I don't put sugar or cream in my coffees here. So if I order one, I think it's just to be like that patriotic Canadian doing as all the other Canadians do. So, yeah, but no, I don't think I actually love the coffee, but I do drink it just to support.
You mentioned Tim Hortons.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to talk about other donut brands, but what about Wendy's?
Wendy's?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really eat fast food.
No.
No. Except Tim Hortons. Love a good everything bagel with cream cheese.
All right. Moving on with bagels then. I went to the Marais, I think it was the time before, and opposite that famous falafel place, there's like a Jewish bakery.
Yeah.
And I went in there and ordered what they would call a bagel, and it was lovely. And I had the potato latke, which was very nice, but their bagels, I've never been to New York, so I don't know what a New York bagel's like.
Okay, yeah.
But here, it just felt like it was a heavy roll.
Yeah.
With a hole in the middle.
Yeah.
Where I am, where I go at home, Brick Lane, we have and we call them bagels.
Okay.
B-E-I-G-A-L.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
And they are totally, totally different. They're slightly flatter. They've been egg washed and boiled.
Okay.
And then they're cooked.
Okay.
And that, to me, that's a proper bagel.
Okay.
But I'm guessing Tim Horton bagels are...
No, they're nice. They're of course, a bagel's a bit more dense than your fluffy baguette that we get here, right? But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I've ever had a bagel in the Marais. I always get the falafel. Yeah.
From the famous place or the ones down the road?
My favorite place is Shea Hanna. Yeah, I'm not going to wait 3 hours for a falafel. No. I'm no connoisseur, but it's deep-fried chickpeas. How different can it be?
But talking to Lily the other day, she was saying about, and I called it, was it Angelique? And it isn't. Angelina.
Uh-huh, the hot chocolate.
She said, you can queue up, we'll go to one of the other branches.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing.
Yeah.
I guess with falafel, a falafel's a falafel.
Right? So my very most popular tour, I think it's safe to say, it's my Versailles tour. And there's two Angelina out in Versailles. So especially on colder, winter or late autumn days, I was there last week, and it was pretty chilly and rainy, very rainy actually, so that was the perfect way to warm up, and you're never going to wait again 3 hours for a cup of cocoa. Have you tried the Angelina hot chocolate?
I haven't. I didn't want to wait 3 hours. I'm cold now.
I think it's worth...
So I popped in the Ritz instead.
Ooh la la.
I went to the toilet in the Ritz. I've got a lovely photo of my boys. It was Christmas last year. They're dressed in black because they're kids.
Yeah.
And we're coming out of these really luxurious toilets. And they look like bank robbers.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
It's such a... you know what? I'm going to put that on... Take that on this as well.
That's so funny. The Ritz is beautiful. My favorite bathrooms, I go to the Hotel de Crillon. The Hotel de Crillon is at Place de la Concorde. Yeah. That's where I sneak into. Yeah.
Place de Concorde, is that the one with the big...
The obelisk. Yeah, that's it.
I was doing Instagram Live for the marathon, just every half hour.
Okay.
To make sure I was still running. and I've seen it, and I saw it's plastic on
You were running it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I've done it twice.
Okay.
Yeah. I know. Never again. Might be again. So this year, actually, I did the marathon, the half, and the 10K.
Cool. Nice.
My trilogy. But, yes, yeah, so I kept saying, oh, Plastic Concorde. And I'm thinking, I don't think it is. And I don't know what made me say it. And then I think I've tried to correct myself, saying, okay. Oh, it isn't. Then as I've got close, I think, no, I'm sure it is.
Okay,
horrendous life videos. not great at all. But you said about your tours.
Yeah.
Now, I did quickly flick through. I've flicked through your website several times.
Yeah.
But on the way up, I thought, I'll have another refresh. And you don't just do your regular tours.
Uh-huh.
They're not, in a nice way, they're not normal.
Okay.
but in a positive way.
Yeah.
They're not like, oh, here's such and such.
Yeah.
You tell
so
me about
I do. I do offer like the classic tours, like a half day highlights tour that starts at the Louvre and at Eiffel Tower. Don't go inside the monuments, but these are like the perfect orientation to the city, you know, to kind of get your bearings. The half-day highlights, a half-day historic, which focuses more on the two central islands, a little bit of the Latin Quarter, ends in the Marais, walking down the Falafel Street. I also organize tours at the Louvre and the Musée d'Orsay. So sure, I do offer the kind of like normal tourist, desirable, like, you know, itineraries. But then I offer a few different, like, off the beaten path tour is one of my other favorite tours and most popular tours that kind of brings you up into neighborhoods that you may not necessarily visit as a first or second or even third time tourist to Paris. I offer one here in Belleville, starting in Ménilmontant, actually, and making our way down through the neighborhood here. I prefer this one at nighttime because there's a cute little cabaret, sing-along cabaret around the corner at Au Vieux Belleville. And they have live music and singing every night, pretty much. Anyway, and I also offer day trips to Champagne and Chablis. Yeah, you know, before the lockdowns, well, before the borders opened, I should say. I spent the last lockdown in Burgundy, so I was doing market research, you see, in Chablis, and so I decided to turn that market research into a tour, so it's a full-day tour out to wine region, also Champagne. The most recent tour that I launched, also based on wine, is a half-day wine tour in Versailles. There's actually a winery there, and this is where the old royal sommeliers used to hang out and make wine for the king at La Bouche du Roi, it's called. So yeah, it's a nice half day tour if you don't have a full day to go out to one of the other wine regions. So yeah. I try to kind of offer some itineraries that are, like you say, a little bit different, you know, because you can go to any tour company, they offer kind of the same itineraries, so I try to jazz it up a little bit, shake things up a little bit to the extraordinary, I guess, if you will.
Now, I can tell from talking to you, you're a nice person.
Thank you.
Even paying for the coffees, so well, thank you for that.
You owe me.
Yeah, no. I certainly do. But I also noticed on your website,
uh-huh.
What's the web address?
Excuse me.
by,
this
by
is why we need
it?
These glasses
Tablets.
Of water.
Oh, the water.
So my website, yes, is www.aprilinparistours.com. So, yes,
excellent.
April in Paris after the Frank Sinatra song. Do you know this song?
I think I'm sure I tagged you at some point when you first agreed to meet up.
Oh, okay.
In a song.
Yeah.
I don't know the
Well,
song
Frank
bit.
Sinatra has one rendition of it, but there's a few different versions. Ella Fitzgerald is another singer who, you know, sings my song, basically. No.
Not written after you, obviously, because of the age gap. It's, yeah.
I just look really good for my age, actually. Yeah.
97 and still drinking coffee. It's amazing.
Keeps me young.
Yeah. But yeah, on the website I noticed you also mention other people, which honestly you don't see that often.
Okay.
And I like that. That's
uh-huh.
You showing support to people. I think that's
yeah.
That's
well,
nice.
You know, I have partners all across Paris, Champagne, Versailles, Burgundy too now. Those are the three main areas where I focus on my tours. And so, yeah, got to share the love, right?
Absolutely.
We support one another. So I have partners that I do put at their logo, and I do work with a handful of other professionals, guides, artists, personal shoppers here in the city, and you know, we make a great team, and they really contribute to the success of April in Paris Tours. And so, yeah, I have them on my website, you know, give them a little shout out, and that way people who are, you know, contemplating which tour should I book, they'll have, you know, maybe feel like they know that potential guide when it's not me a little bit better. So
yeah.
That's
nice.
Thank you.
The latest thing that I've noticed, the lady with the maps.
Sonia. Sonia. Yeah, she's great. She makes custom maps of Paris, actually. So I think it's really an amazing, amazing, amazing souvenir. And
absolutely.
So, like, when I my tours end and I get back in front of my laptop, I always send a follow-up email with my favorite restaurants and markets and all kinds of other information, including a link to Sonia's maps, because they're customizable. So, you know, you have some favorite coffee places where you record your podcast, for example, or maybe tea houses, you know, and so she'll put them on a map. And she doesn't only focus on Paris, but she can make a map for any city around around the globe, really. So she's super talented. Yeah. I'll give you. Do you follow her on Instagram?
I don't.
You got to.
I'll send you
her contact. Maybe potential future guest on your show here.
Could, absolutely.
Yeah, she likes tea as well. She makes her own. Voila.
But one of my dreams is to open up.
What's going on here? Oops, sorry.
That's all right.
sorry about that. Don't know what happened.
If you need to take it, it's not.
No, it wasn't even a phone call. My phone's on silent. I don't know what happened. Anyway.
It's those tablets again. One of my dreams, I don't dream often, but one of them is to open up a tea room and a coffee shop together.
Okay,
Again, I was talking about this the other day, so I was going to have all different types of tea and then all different types of coffee.
Okay.
And I was thinking, no, because when I walk into a cafe back in England, I just want a mug of tea.
Yeah.
One tea bag, sugar, that's it.
Yeah.
And I think, but is that really a tea room with a nice dainty case? Yeah. Tea, bacon roll. And then you can worry about the coffee later.
Yeah. Love a good bacon roll.
Do you have red sauce or brown sauce?
I don't know. I just kind of like let my friends choose for me when I go visit. So.
Nice.
Yeah. I do have a favorite type of tea. Love a Yorkshire tea.
Is that because of the Sheffield connection?
I guess so, yeah. As I said, I was like, oh, that makes sense,
A revelation.
Epiphany
moments. Right, I have concluded my side of things.
All right.
I know.
Thanks, Paul. Merci.
Is there anything you want to say, talk, or ask about?
Well, no, it's just been a real pleasure. Yeah, I thought you were going to play some salsa music and we were going to dance around the square here, but you know.
I was going to, but I think Spotify rules and regulations and it would have just blanked out the whole podcast. So.
Yeah, and so, you know, I have a few of my guests who I've met over the past couple of weeks and some friends and family. I've told them that we were going to be having this coffee pot conversation today. And so they're really looking forward to hearing it. So yeah, you're gonna send me all the details where the podcast can be.
But it's again, I have no secret, I'm not technologically minded, I don't do the podcasting thing, but I use podcasts for Spotify.
Okay.
And then it goes straight up to Spotify.
Okay.
Then it's beamed onto Apple
cool.
Podcasts, Amazon, and other platforms.
Okay.
I don't really know what goes on.
Okay.
I just do my bit, hit it. So
yeah,
apparently it's on all popular platforms.
Perfect,
But I'm just going to play this jingle live because you were almost singing it. It will
Coffee
come.
Coffee Park Conversations.
And that's my eldest. I said, I need a jingle. we were struggling. It took about 20 takes. I went, no, something like, you know, when we sing Boulevard Saint-Germain,
yeah.
And he sang that Coffee Park Camps, and I play it in the office.
I love
it. It drives everyone to distraction.
So cool.
And I've got my youngest, I think it was 2 takes, and he says, coming soon.
Okay.
So again, that's another little section, which you can't hear because it's live, but
yeah,
it'll be there.
Great.
So just finishing off, who are you and where can we get in touch?
Yep. So again, April Pett from April in Paris Tours. So you can reach me through my website, www.aprilinparistours.com. My email is bonjour@aprilinparistours.com. And you can find me on Instagram and Facebook, all under aprilinparistours.com. Yes.
Brilliant.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm now just going to turn it off.
Okay.
Coffee Park Conversations.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Coffee Pot Conversations, hosted by an Englishman in Paris. Today, we had the pleasure of talking to our special guest, who is April Pett from April in Paris Tours, the award-winning tour guide. She is available on aprilinparistours.com, as well as on her Instagram, April in Paris Tours. If you want to explore more about me and my general times that have some relevance to Paris, don't forget to visit anenglishmaninparis.blog, and you can also check out my Instagram at anenglishmaninparisblog. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting the podcast by buying me a coffee from buymeacoffee.com/anenglishmaninparis. Your support does go a long way in keeping the conversation going. Stay tuned for upcoming episodes where we'll dive into even more captivating stories and insights. But until next time, remember, keep sipping that intellectual brew with Coffee Pot Conversations, hosted by an Englishman in Paris. And before we wrap up, I just want to give an extended thank you to April for being the other part of this Coffee Pot Conversation.
Coming up on Coffee Pot Conversations,
we have a few more interviews. We've also got another talking episode whereby it's just me talking. That's fun, but that's in the middle of all the other interviews, so that'll just come as a surprise to you lot. In the meantime, we are next up with episode 3 of season 1, or as I like to call it, 1.3. So until then, come find me, leave a review, tell me what you think. I'm on Instagram at an Englishman in Paris blog, my website, anenglishmaninparis.blog. You can find all my podcasts on your regular platforms, or you can buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/anenglishmaninparis. Just a quick little one-off if you wish to, but you know what? You don't even have to. At this stage, there aren't many extras. And it's just a support. You're not going to gain anything except my gratitude. But that said, at this early stage, which is still early doors of 2024, I'm happy to accept anyone and talk to anybody about anything. Just need some listeners, so that will be good. Until then, carry on listening to my podcast. You can put it on repeat, I don't mind. Nothing changes. And I've waffled for way too long, so it is time for the final jingle.
Coffee Park Conversations.